Good morning. It's encouraging to see you all here this morning. Am I coming through loud enough? I don't carry like Rick does, that's for sure. It's been quite a year. I don't know how many times people have told me that we'll never forget this year. Things that have gone on this year. I think every generation can say that. I think back to my parents and things that they went through their lives. Dad was probably six. I don't know if they'd already moved to Texas from Oklahoma to Silverton, but the flu epidemic then, his family got in that. His sister Lucy, I think, had it pretty bad. Maybe repercussions later in life, but she lived a long, good life. But the different things that they went through in their lives, they tell me I don't know what troubles are when I was complaining, but what is the meaning of these things that go on? This life is a test, just like the test of the children of Israel. He's told them today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the testing. Today, we have today, this is the Lord's day. We can rejoice and be glad in it, what God has given us today. But, you know, you look in Revelation about the time between the two advents of Christ that we're in, the seals, the trumpets, the bowls of wrath. It all ends in what we can know is the elementary teachings that we read about in the book of Hebrews. It all ends in judgment. In each one of those cases, maybe a little different twist. It says that a third or even a fourth of the earth is affected at all times because of these things. And most men, they were in agony. They turned on God. What he wants from us is plain. He tells them they need to repent and give glory to God. And that's his purpose there. He wants the best for us. What I'm going to talk about today is kind of a lesson and something that came out in the book of Isaiah several times all through the Bible is to trust in the Holy One of Israel. What do we put our trust in? You know, they didn't trust to repent. People trust in different things. The old Babylon of the that took Israel into captivity because of their sins. They had that idea of the Babylon that we read about today. That old Babylon is gone. There is no trace of it left. They thought they were invincible. They had plenty of food. They had a fortress there, the water system. They thought they were. And what they said in Isaiah there, I sit as a queen upon the many waters. I have many children. And they kept repeating, I am and there's none beside me. They kept repeating that. Of course, there's only the one great I am, and that's God. We need to keep that in mind. And, of course, the Babylon of today, society, the two terrible beasts that join Satan, the influence of terrible men in government, the apostate church that influences things. What he tells us to do is to come out and be separate from all of that. It's our duty there. We need to teach the good news, to trust in God. That trust goes both ways. Of course, you think about trust, the verse that comes to my mind, we read here in a lot of funerals. He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And he went to prepare a place for us. You know the way. Of course, Thomas asked him, we don't know where you're going. Where is this way? Of course, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, men want to do it their own way. They won't listen to the way, that single way. They got other ways. Proverbs says there's a way that seems right to man. In the end, it leads in death. We need to remember and not trust in that, what men say. There's many things about a trust. It's something both ways that is built over time. I guess you could interject the word faith as a trust. You hear the words trust me, in this day and age you better look out. Of course, Satan used that at the very first, the temptation of man, trust me, and not the word, take away from the word, add to it. That's Satan's best ploy to get us off. I think we were in class one time, someone said, if someone wants a business deal with me and they say, well, trust me, I'm a Christian, they back up and look very close before they do it. You know, that's sad, but the actions are what proves that trust. We have that proven with God. The faith, the trust, there's three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. That's what it's based upon, that great love that God has for us. If we'll trust in Him and what He says there through these times, there's many things that you can trust in. We do every day when we get in an automobile. It takes a lot of horsepower to stop a vehicle, and it does to get it going, to stop it quickly. I thought of parachutes. I don't know if I would do that, or a bungee jumper. I don't think I would do that. I can picture that going to the end and my eyes coming out like the bungee. I might try zip lining, but you're trusting in something that somebody says is going to save you or keep you safe and feeling secure. That's what you're trusting in. The greatest example of that in putting who we are, what we truly trust, I've seen that in a book, is the guy that stretched the cable across Niagara Falls. He walked across it to the other side. He came back going the other way pushing the wheelbarrow. Yeah, boy, everybody's probably, well, that's great. He said, well, you believe I can do that again? Yeah. And, okay, somebody get in the wheelbarrow. Nobody did. They didn't trust him that much. Do we trust God that much? You know, we have, it's who we are, what we truly trust in this time that we're in. What do I truly trust in? Do I really believe? Do I trust in Him enough to tell others to live that way myself if I see them going outside of the truth? Do I really trust that the other side of that, the two-edged sword of the gospel, it saves, but it also condemns, just like the old covenant. If you do these things, are willing and obedient, you'll have these blessings. Look in Isaiah chapter 1. He begins there talking that animals have enough sense to trust their owners for what they need to be put out before them. There in verse 15 says, when you spread out your hands in prayer, I'll hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash, make yourself clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless, the case of the widow. And it's here what we need to understand. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they will be like wool. And here's that big little word I always think of, we'll need to. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat the best from the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The blessings, if we were willing and obedient, obeying from the heart that form of teaching, trusting that God, even though it doesn't make sense, you know, the men of faith, it didn't make sense some of the things they were asked to do, but they trusted in God and did it. They acted. They got in that wheelbarrow. They went across that way. They trusted in God to do. In the 7th chapter of Isaiah, we see the divided kingdom and Ahaz, the king there of Judah. They're fearing there. He says they're shaking like leaves on the trees in a forest, shaking. They had right to from what happened previously. But Isaiah was told what to do. He says, say to him, verse 4, be careful, keep calm, don't be afraid, don't lose heart because of these smoldering stubs of firewood, what they were planning to do. They're going to invade there later in verse 5. Judah, tear it apart, divide among ourselves, making them king. But he says, it will not take place, it will not happen, for the head of Aram is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is only reason. Within 65 years, Ephraim will be too shattered to be a people. The head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is only Remaliah's son. And here's another if. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. That's the key to it all. Our faith has to continually grow each day of our lives by what we do, our actions. Trusting in God, we have to stand firm against the evils of this world, whether it be through the governments or apostate religion that tells something different to trust in. Stand firm in your faith, or we're not going to stand at all if we do not do this. He goes on there in verse 10, the Lord spoke to Ahaz, ask the Lord your God for a sign, whether in the deepest depths or the highest heights. Just name something that God says and I'll do it. What does he reply? I will not ask. I will not put the Lord to the test. You know, don't put the Lord to the test. But Isaiah said, hear now, ye house of David, it is not enough to try the patience of men. Will you try the patience of my God also? But he goes ahead and gives a sign. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel. These twofold prophecies here, of course, we know this when we read the birth of Christ. Emmanuel means God with us. What better can we trust in? The Creator, the divine Creator, comes down to His creation and lives as one of us. His favorite term in the book of Matthew is called the Son of Man that He called Himself. He's not ashamed to call us brothers. We read that in Hebrews. He's tempted in every way, yet without sin. But He gives us that to trust in. What more could He do? Of course, He did a lot more on the cross. There, he, of course, you know, Ahaz, he said, I know he can do that, but he goes on, won't read it all. He trusts an alliance with Assyria to help him instead of God. We can read later in life that he doesn't trust. You know, we can do this. I think Rick pointed that out. We'll have problems going on, whatever it may be, and then we might make the statement, well, all we could do is pray. That is the most you can do to begin with and should do, is pray to God about what you need to serve Him, to do what's right, if it's according to His will. But he trusted in Assyria. We see later in life that he was... I don't know what it was. I kind of see a correlation. If you don't stand firm in your faith. Ahaz had a disease in his feet in his later life. It said he trusted the doctors and he did not pray to God about it. There's a lesson in that too, what we trust in. But look over in Isaiah chapter 57. Verse 13, it says, "When you cry out for help, let your collection of idols save you. The wind will carry all of them off. A mere breath will blow them away, but the man who makes me his refuge will inherit the land and possess my holy mountain." People trusting in temporal things. Build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles out of the way of my people, for this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with him who is contrite and lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. I will not accuse forever, nor will I always be angry, for then the spirit of man would grow faint before me, the breath of man that I have created. I was enraged by his sinful greed. I punished him, hid my face in anger, yet he kept on in his willful ways. I've seen his ways, but I will heal him. I'll guide him and restore comfort to him, creating praise on the lips of the mourners in Israel. Peace, peace to those far and near, says the Lord, and I will heal them. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, which cannot rest, whose waves cast up mire and mud. There's no peace, says my God, for the wicked. We can really trust what God has done by His Son, Jesus Christ. If we're penitent, if we're contrite in heart, that's a word I don't use very often, you're really sorrowful down deep from what you've done, He will not remember forever. Of course, we have in the New Covenant that they will remember their sins no more. God does not want to hear from it when we repent of it truly. We remember it. You know, if we're blessed, you know, this all stems from love, this trust with good, loving parents all our life. We have blessings all our life through it. We don't worry about things when we're under their care. We do know that punishment can come very quickly. I can remember times of punishment. When I was little, we worshipped at 2 years where Mom and Dad obeyed the gospel. I wasn't very big, but I jumped down out the pew and was doing stuff back and forth. Dad got a hold of me. You don't do that. And I remember that. And then another time that punishment, this rotten, spoiled kid I was, I couldn't ride my horse that day. So I hid out all day, and Dad and Mom were worried, scared to death. They couldn't find me, and I finally took out across the field, and Peggy was with them. She's there all the time. She caught me. Dad couldn't, but she didn't want to. She seen the fire in Dad's eyes. I didn't forget that, but Dad never mentioned it again to me. And people later in my life that I respect in school of discipline, it hurt them to even, I've seen them mention it to other people. I'm so sorry what I did in school. And they didn't want to even think about it. That is real love and trust building. You have an opportunity now. What are you going to do? It's forgotten. We can have that trust in God, what He does there for us. Main thing we, you know, like mentioned earlier, the apostasy, the false teaching that men get caught up with, It all goes back to who do we trust to be the authority in our lives. I've seen this here lately, of course, in the government, the two beasts, and men okaying sinful things, which they shouldn't do. But when Jesus, they knew he had authority. He taught different than the teachers of the day, and people said were amazed. Are we amazed at what he teaches us there? But he asked a question to them about the baptism of John. Was it from heaven or men? And they reasoned they wouldn't answer him because he said, well, if we say from John, he'll ask us, why didn't we believe? And if not, they were afraid of the people. They thought they knew John was from God. They wouldn't answer. But if we would have said from heaven, Christ would ask them, why didn't they believe? Take seriously things that we can ask ourselves. What do we truly trust in? Is it from heaven or men? We need to ask other men that question. It's a good opportunity. What do you trust in your life? What do you act upon? What do you think is going to give you security in this life? Of course, there's all kinds of things, worldly things, that will not satisfy the rich farmer and the bigger barns, and he wasn't rich towards God. We know those stories, but people that don't trust in anything at all try everything they can for happiness, and it doesn't leave a trust that is lasting. It leans toward heartache, our careers, the things that we have each day, that even families and friends that can prove untrustworthy, we can't count on, but God is always the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. His words will never change. His promises, they're true. They're proven out through time. We can see that. If you look at 2 Samuel verse 22, I haven't timed this, but time means nothing to me. So it just saves when. Second Samuel 22, verse 31. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is flawless. He is a shield for all who take refuge in him. For who is God besides the Lord, and who is the rock except our God? It is God who arms me with strength and makes my way perfect. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to stand on the heights. He trains my hands for battle. My arms can bend a bow of bronze. You give me your shield of victory. You stoop down to make me great. You broaden the path beneath me so that my ankles do not turn. The EIB version reads, God's way is without fault. Yahweh's word is pure. He is a shield to all those who trust in him. A shield for us. We can count on that blessing there. Kind of running out of time. There's a lot of verses I have here in Psalms that would be very lengthy in reading. If you'd like them to read this afternoon, I'll certainly let you look and write them down. I think I'm kind of running short on time. There's a lot of things that we have false confidence in, but we need to make sure if we can read it, like Rick said, and put our finger on it in the Bible, we can trust and believe in it. But back to what it said there, what we can trust in, it's like it says in Hebrews many times today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as the day of testing. You know, the children of Israel, they went through the desert. They were given manna to eat. They were told not to gather too much or it would spoil. They were given water in the desert, everything they need in that testing. This life is a test, what we go through. Are we going to be faithful to him? Today, if we hear his voice, we need to listen. This is the only day, this time we go through. All through life should teach us that. It's all we have to trust in if we'll do that. It might be gone before the day's over, but if we'll trust in him, just like the children of Israel, they came to the promised land, they spied it out. We all know that story from childhood. Two of them came back with a good report. The other said, we can't do it. No, we can't by ourselves. We have to have God's with us. Of course, they tried to go in later without God, and they were defeated. It's scary that two men only had the trust and the faith in God to do that and go take the land as they were promised. But if we lean upon God and do what he says, we will be victorious. And that's the lesson for today. We always have a song of encouragement. If anyone needs the help or would like to put their trust in the Lord and obey the gospel, it'd be a good day to do it, as long as it's today, as we stand and sing.